You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. This Sunday, there is a public thank you celebration for the longtime artistic directors of the Sacramento Ballet, Ron Cunningham and Corrine Binda Cunningham. The event is free with cake and ice cream. It's at Land Park Village Green from 5:30 to 8. That's at the corner of Sutterville and Freeport Boulevard. Next week, Cap Radio's arts and theater critic Jeff Hudson will have more on the long and important contributions by Ron and Corrine. Their final ballet of the season is at the Sophia, June 14th to the 17th. Yesterday, Cap Radio's morning classical host Kevin Doherty joined me for this week's Sound Advice. With music that seems right for ballet, it is poetic and deep. Perhaps also just right after the intensity and politics of this election week. Here's Kevin.
I think I brought some delightful music for us today to lull us out of this.
I'm looking forward to especially where you want to begin. John Adams meets Beethoven.
John Adams meets Beethoven. I need you to ask me a question right now. Will you ask me what a scherzo is?
Oh, what is a scherzo? I can spell it, but I can't define it.
Even if you know, I just wanted to answer it. Scherzo literally means joke, and it's usually a light and playful movement within a larger work. And for instance, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the second movement, is a scherzo. And what John Adams has created for us is a piece called Absolute Jest, which is an allusion to the scherzo. He actually calls it a colossal scherzo. So it's one big 25-minute scherzo. He's taken motifs and music of Beethoven and infused it into kind of his sound landscape, which I think is so, so, so incredible. He's taken the music from like late string quartets and a couple of the late symphonies. And the clip I'm going to play for you right now actually doesn't even start out very light or playful at all. It's actually kind of haunting. But you're going to hear this bump-a-bump, bump-a-bump, which is a motif that comes out of the second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is the scherzo that I alluded to earlier. But it's such a, for Beethoven fans out there, listen, if there are Beethoven fans listening right now, this is such a clear, just sort of tattoo, a clear mark of Beethoven's music. You can hear how he works both of these things in, and then that motif pervades throughout. So let's take a listen.
Definitely there. It's subtle in a way, even though it's strong, and you're right about haunting.
It's very haunting, and that's actually just the beginning of the piece. So it does get going, and there's a bit of cacophony as you get, you know, later on down the road. It's so well done by John Adams. And, you know, Adams is one of the great composers of today. He's one of the most prolific composers. So to have him and Beethoven kind of in the same space is really a lot of fun.
That was a great start. And now let's go to a pianist that is really in a category all her own. Don't you think, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. Simone Dinnerstein is just fantastic. She seems to do things kind of her own way or how she wants to do it. You know, her career really took off over a decade ago when she released a recording of Bach's Goldberg Variations, which skyrocketed in not just the classical charts, but the regular charts, too. It was unbelievable. But it all came out of a self-produced recording that she put together, that she got whatever she needed to get together to make this happen, and then the label picked it up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it's just really cool. I have her playing Bach. It's an album called Circles off the Orange Mountain label, and she's performing with a group called A Far Cry, and she's playing Bach's Keyboard Concerto No. 7, which is one of his more famous, more recognizable concertos, but she makes it sound so effortless. Her fingers just skate across the keys. It's really unbelievable. Let's take a listen. ¶¶
If you ever see her in concert, you want to sit where you can watch her hands on the keyboard, because that show is unbelievable.
I am so glad that you brought that up, because I did see her in concert a couple weeks ago. I actually went out to San Francisco. She premiered. So the reason for the album was Philip Glass's Piano Concerto No. 3. She paired it with this Bach keyboard concerto, but she went and had breakfast with Philip Glass one day, and he was like, let me write you something. So he did, and she got a consortium of orchestras together to help her put this project together, and it was really pretty incredible. So I saw her in San Francisco with the New Century Chamber Orchestra, and at first I thought, oh, her back's to me. That's kind of a bummer, but I'm a singer, so I'm always like face the audience, you know? But I did. I got to see her hands, and I got to see how expressive she is.
Yeah.
She's incredible. A sight to watch, for sure.
So name this project again.
The album is called Circles, and it's with A Far Cry, which is a chamber orchestra out of Boston, and it's off the Orange Mountain label, which is Philip Glass's label.
You're listening to Cap Radio's morning classical host, Kevin Daugherty. He is giving us the soothing spa-type relief to this really intense political... Wait, how's that? How's that for a setup?
That works.
All right, what's next?
So Simone Dinnerstein and violinist Hilary Hahn have something in common, and it's also kind of a movement that I'm noticing as the classical music world progresses and in recordings, are these sort of unique programming choices that artists are making. It's no longer just Mozart paired with Mozart or Beethoven and Bach. A lot of times now it's, you know, maybe a Mozart, maybe a Beethoven, and then something completely random that was written for them, for instance, like the Bach in the Glass that you heard with Dinnerstein. Hilary Hahn just released a greatest hits album called Retrospective. Mm. And instead of the label, which is Deutsche Grammophon, picking the pieces that they wanted to illustrate how she plays, Hilary Hahn did it. Mm. And there are a lot of really interesting choices on this album. And it's just a great mix of music. So that's my plug for this album. I think it's very, very cool. What I chose was Mozart. So why
there
not, right? Mozart's Violin Sonata number 27. It's just, it's lyrical, it's playful, it's delightfully Mozart. If we're looking for some music to decompress, this is the piece. This is from the second movement, which is a theme and variations. And I want to point out that it said that Mozart wrote this piece in an hour.
Whoa.
Actually never was able to pen or write down the piano part. So he played it, I guess you could say, from memory, but he was probably just composing half the time on the spot anyway. And I actually picked a moment to sort of illustrate the playfulness and the spontaneity between the piano and the violin. So let's listen.
That was Hilary Hahn's recording from the new project Retrospective, and my conversation with Capital Public Radio's classical host, Kevin Daugherty. Kevin has one more selection. It's Heart Song by guitarist Frederick Hand from his new album. Online, you can hear our conversation about this. We're going to close this segment with Heart Song. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.